Choice Tunes every second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 2 p.m. with Alan Collier introducing a special guest each show where they reveal their selection of favourite tracks. Tune in to discover what music influenced their lives. Only on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
I like the sound of that.
Welcome to Choice Tunes, and we know what Choice Tunes is all about now. It's all about getting an invited guest in. We ask them a bit about their life, what they've done, and we also get them to bring in or give us eight songs so that we can discuss them. But there are songs that not that they would play in the CD in the car coming down today or whatever, or they wouldn't list them necessarily as if a top favourite songs of today, but they are songs that bring part of their memories back. And when they hear them, they think of happy days. And it's a great pleasure to introduce Con Nottis. Now, you've heard Con from time to time because he's also a partner in Hutchison Legal. Welcome, Con.
G'day, Alan. Great to be here again.
Great to have you here too. Con, we're going to go way back to start with. We know you're a partner in Hutchison Legal, and we'll get to that eventually. Where were you born, Con?
I was born in Box Hill.
Box Hill? So you're a Box Hill boy.
That's it.
And were you brought up in Box Hill? Like, did you spend all your youth there in Box Hill?
Yeah, nearby in Blackburn South.
Yep. So we don't. So you went through your normal schooling, and we don't worry about schooling because everybody goes to schooling. After you'd finished secondary college, did you go straight off to university to be a lawyer, or what happened then?
Yes. Well, there's a bit of a journey there because my primary school got sold off and it's now houses.
Yeah.
And then I went to Burwood Technical College for 2 years, year 7 and 8.
Yep.
And that got shut down when they got rid of all the tech colleges. What a mistake that was.
Yep.
But then I went off to Melbourne High School, year 9 to 12.
Yep.
And did all right there and straight into Monash Uni for doing a law and commerce degree.
So you always knew that you wanted to be a lawyer?
Not necessarily. I wanted to be in business.
Yep.
Wanted to be, change the world somehow in business. And But I managed to scrape into law. So.
Well, I got to say, Grant is game to have employed you. And Grant, don't get a fit when I say that. But he went to his primary school and it got flogged off. He went to his tech school and they flogged it off.
Yeah,
you're sure Hutchison Legal's on you? You're flogged off.
No, it looks like it's going to be around for a while.
That's terrific. Con, all right. So at what stage did you decide that you wanted to be a lawyer?
I put my efforts in year 12 and managed to get the mark to get into law. So I thought, well, I'll do that, commerce or law. If I don't do well at law, I'll just be an accountant. That's what I majored in my commerce degree. So that was interesting.
All right. So what was your first job? Now, was it either a part-time job or at uni or your full-time job when you left uni?
I was a bowser boy, cash on the driveway. Wash your windows.
Yep.
Check your oil, fill up the car. I had four guns in the cars.
Yep.
At the same time. And did you cash? You didn't even have to get out of your seat. You just sat there, wind down your window, and took care of the rest.
Yeah. And that was down Blackburn Way?
No, a couple of service stations. My dad had one in Blackburn South called Alpha Petroleum, and then he had one on the corner of a very busy intersection, Springvale Road and Maroondah Highway or Whitehorse Road.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very busy. It's a KFC now, but it used to be a discount petrol.
Was it?
And, we used to stop the traffic there in the turning lane. So it was always cheap there.
Your father was always in that sort of industry?
He was a mechanic. Yep. From years before, and then he ran a few petrol stations. So, I got the Sunday shift, $5 an hour. And pumping away all the petrol.
And that helped you put yourself through uni, obviously.
Yeah, that was a bit of pocket money there.
All right, so you finish uni, you've graduated. What was your first job then, your first full-time job?
I was not doing anything for a little while. An interesting story. One of my uni lecturers had mentioned me to, I think, Grant Hutchinson, and Grant invited me in to do about 4 weeks, like a work experience or something. And then after that, he offered me a job as an article clerk. So
really, the only really full-time job you've ever had is with Grant at Hutchinson Legal.
Being a lawyer. Yeah, this was a firm before Hutchinson Legal, so this was 1996.
Yep.
So, yeah, out of uni there and got offered the articles there. But I worked until the end of 97, then I left him. I got engaged and got married and moved down to Hobart in 1998.
Oh, did you? As a lawyer?
No, I couldn't get a job in Hobart as a lawyer. It was a recession back then and I was from out of town. They didn't really trust me, I don't think. Yeah. A suspicious interstate mainlander.
So what did you do down there?
So down there I was unemployed for a while, which was great. You know, I cooked some lunch, took it down to my wife in the city.
And she was doing all the work?
Yeah, it was great. We were living the dream there, you know. I think she was on $30,000 a year. I was getting nothing. Rent was $105 a week. We had a beautiful view across Hobart's harbour there, you know, the river. Life was good and simple.
I guess, first of all, then, what made you go to Hobart?
Yeah, well, so my wife's first job offer, she had a choice, Shepparton, Hobart. So she decided to go to Hobart.
Yep.
And I thought, oh, we'd been going out for about 4 years before this. And a good a bloke from the country told me, he said, Con, there comes a time in a man's life where you either tie the knot or cut the rope.
Yep, true.
So I thought I'd better make sure I propose to her before she gets to Hobart.
Yep.
I snuck on board the ship. It was on the Spirit of Tasmania and I proposed to her on the ship on the way over.
Terrific.
Yeah, so we were engaged, living in separate cities for a year, but that was all exciting times.
So then what sort of job did you eventually get in Hobart?
So I eventually got a job in what was called then the Insolvency and Trustee Service. That's to do with, bankruptcies. And I'd been doing some of that legal work in my previous job in Melbourne.
Yep.
And I'm still doing insolvency work to this very day. I'm consider myself an enthusiast when it comes to bankruptcy and insolvency work.
So what brought you back from Hobart?
I'd stayed in touch with Grant again, and I think an employee said he was leaving. Yep. So Grant said, if you want a job, come back in 2 weeks. So it was very jarring, very...
very quick.
I left my wife behind in Hobart and got back to Melbourne in 2 weeks. But I did say first, Grant, you have to give me 3 months off. We're going to Europe backpacking, my wife and I. So I negotiated that deal. I'll come back, work for a few months, then go off for a few months and then come back permanent.
Good deal.
So, yeah, that's how it was.
All right. You've picked out the first song as A Wonderful Life by Black. Tell us what memories that brings, Colin.
This one was I was about 15 at the time and it's helped me deal with, I suppose, it was disappointment in those years of young teenage... wondering what's this world about and I was playing footy and trying to get into a high-level team and just on the edge. And then I got cut from a squad and it was really disappointing, But this song was on in the car that night I got cut on the drive home.
Let's play it.
stand here on my own. Look at me standing here on my own again. Up straight in the sunshine.
Choice Tunes, and I have with me Con from Hutchison Legal. Con, you at one stage worked in the city as a solicitor. Was it insolvency again?
Yeah, I was mainly working in litigation, debt collection, and insolvency. Yes.
Right. So when you had you decided that you gave that away, what did you do then, Con?
So in about 2004 to 2005, I spent a year off cleaning grease traps, driving around Melbourne with my dad,
yep.
Getting our hands dirty, pumping out the grease traps at various back lanes of Melbourne's restaurants across the suburbs. So,
not the sort of job that you would thought would go from wearing a suit in the city to cleaning grease traps.
Yeah, that's right. I can tell you negotiating a $10,000 difference in a mediation was much easier than negotiating $10 in the back lane, I can tell you that. Oh, the shop owners, they didn't want to pay you that extra $10. They're always looking for a discount.
Con, Phil Collins, Another Day in Paradise.
Yeah, look, this song, I've chosen this one because sort of looking back, during my uni days between 91 and 95, I volunteered time with a group running a house for otherwise homeless teenagers.
Yep.
And my church was supporting it and I was on the committee there. And yep. So this was where you had people that lived in a house with the teenagers that needed help and needed yep. guidance. It wasn't safe for them to go to their actual homes.
Yep.
So they were homeless. They'd got into, you know, minor crime and things like that. They needed role models to live with yep. them and show them there's a different way of life, how to clean, how to do chores, how yep. to, you know, be a responsible person. And so I was heavily involved in that during those years.
Yep.
And so this song sort of... motivated me partly in that. And I recently stayed in the city and the problem of homelessness has never gone away.
Con, when you were doing that, did you have your own children?
No, this is when I was, in my early 20s.
Oh, before you got married.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, let's listen to it. let's keep on a bit more about your life. Now, you're into insolvency and civil or litigation or dispute resolution. In dollars, what would be the biggest amount that you've had to fight about?
Well, that's interesting. I suppose there was over $1 million. I've had a few of those cases, over $1 million. Yeah, one of the simplest cases I ever had to run was worth $1 million. It was just about a lease of a car wash where the tenant just abandoned it. Yeah. And the balance of the lease was like another 10 years to go. So we sued for $1 million there. And it wasn't a very difficult conceptual case. Yeah. I've had a lot more difficult cases worth a lot less. So the complexity and the amount doesn't really match all the time.
Doesn't it?
No.
I would have thought that the higher the amount, the more work, the harder it would have been.
Not always, not always. But, and I've had some employment disputes and matters there worth quite a bit as well at the higher end. So,
when you're saying employment, is that someone's trying to break a contract, like an employer's trying to break a contract? And
I'm not paying properly the entitlements, not matching, making promises and not keeping them. So that's what I see my job as a lot of, is making people honour their promises, honour their commitments.
Fair enough. Mariah Carey, Vision of Love. Tell me why.
Yes, this is a special song to me. I don't mind my female vocalists. And this one came out in 1990, and I was doing year 12 in 1990, and I'd become a Christian around then, so it's not a Christian song, but you can read it that way.
Yep.
It was really meaningful to me. And then by May 1993, I finally met my true earthly vision of love.
Yep.
And in 1998, I then married her, my darling wife, Susanna.
Hope she's listening.
She better be. We danced to this song as our bridal waltz or shuffle.
Let's listen.
So I believe, and now I know. you turned out to be.
Welcome back to Choice Tunes, and we're talking to Con. Con, in the, we've talked about the biggest case, or not the biggest, but that you've been involved over time. Have you ever had a case where a client has come to you and you've said, I'm going to do the best for you, but I don't think you're going to win? Do you ever get those sorts of cases?
Yeah, that happens. I mean, it's hard to say to somebody, you know, your case is a 50-50 proposition.
Yep.
And I wouldn't spend the amount of money that I estimate you'll need to spend, I wouldn't spend that on a toss of a coin 50-50.
Yep.
And so that's really difficult. Some people will say, okay, thank you for that advice, but I want you to go ahead.
I was just going to ask you that. So you still get people that, that will stay, go ahead.
Yes, that's right. And so, you know, even when I think a case is a certainty, I'd never say it's a certainty. I always say, you've got 80% chance.
Yep.
I think you should win. I'm confident you'll win. But I've seen the what appears to be the certain cases not go so well. So
not always the way you'd like it to go.
No. The judges are less predictable these days than they used to be, I think.
Are they?
Yes, yes.
Have you ever had a case where you've given a person the advice and said, look, mate, I'm going to really work hard for you, but I think you're really... it's not going to go well for you, where you've run the case and then the person's come back to you and said, you didn't do a good job there, blamed you?
Yeah, that's difficult. That's difficult when you can see where it's going and you foreshadow where it's going, and you even have to tell our clients, you won't be a good witness in the box. We need to settle this case before you are put in the witness box.
Because some are just so bad.
Yes, that's right. They just won't come across well to the judge in terms of being consistent with their story, with the documents that are, you know, everything must be line up.
Yep.
And I often say this to a client, I know you know the truth,
yep,
but proving that truth to the judge is an entirely different proposition.
Good point.
Yeah, so.
Righto, Jars of Clay, Liquid.
Look, this is really a special song. Jars of Clay are definitely my favourite band, and I could pick 20 songs of theirs. I've only picked one for today. They're the very first one I heard of theirs. I've been buying their albums ever since. This one, the reason this one's meaningful to me is that there's a key line in there. It talks about, this is the one thing that I know, and he's talking, this goes with the becoming being a Christian, and... this is a lawyer. There's a lawyer in the Bible called Paul, and an apostle Paul, and he was a lawyer, and then he became one of the followers and one of the apostles. And he said, the only thing I know is about Jesus, and that's it. So to me, that's humbling words for a lawyer who, you know, when lawyers think they know everything.
looking for nothing. Arms nailed down. He didn't die for nothing. He didn't die for nothing.
We like to ask really big questions and hard questions on this show. What was your first car?
My first car was a 1979 Lancia Beta Coupe, two-door, red, fast red colour.
Was it?
And sounded like a real car.
It did it go?
And handled brilliantly round corners. And the only thing wrong with it was made with cheap Russian metal in the 70s, so yeah. It rusted away like anything.
So it wasn't a case of you crashed it or anything, it just rusted off.
Yeah, it just rusted away, and it was difficult to work in that engine bay. The engine was so powerful, it literally rocked itself off the mounting bolts. Like, it ripped the mounting bolt off the chassis because it was just, and it had a bar trying to hold it in place. Nice. So, great car while it lasted.
It did last. Jesus Freak, why'd you pick that one?
This one, sort of the same sort of year, 1995. And to me, it's just sometimes, you know, people frown upon the idea of being a Jesus Freak. This was a derogatory term in the 70s, apparently, when I was in my younger days. And to me, it's just about standing up, you know, despite what others say, you can still stand up for what you believe.
Absolutely. All right, let's listen to it.
Left in the upper room, the stamps on his back and hair on his face. They thought he was strange, by the focus he ate. You see the Pharisees trip when they heard him speak. My best friend was born in a manger. People say I'm strange, does it make me a stranger? My best friend was born.
Forget about everything, about qualifications and all the other things that hold people back. If I said to you today you can have any job anywhere in the world, what sort of job, what job would you take?
Oh, you know, you really have put me on the spot. What job would I like?
All right.
Yeah, I can't do it. Just it's being like a caretaker, looking after someone who needs the help, having
we'll come back to that. Alive, why'd you pick this one?
Oh, this is just a fantastic. I recommend you watch the video of this song. It's brilliant, and it's a guy having the best day of his life, but it's also the last day of his life.
Let's listen.
Control, so I'll let go whenever happens in its lifetime. So I trust.
to Life. Why did you pick that one?
Yeah, look, I really like the sound of this song. Really rock and roll. You might have already guessed from a few of the songs I've chosen. This one came out in the year that the Matrix sequels came out, 2003. Matrix is one of my favourite films.
Yep.
And I wish this song was in the Matrix sequels and not in Daredevil. What a mistake that was. But a great song nonetheless.
Let's listen. Today, but secondly, putting all these songs together to sort of look back on your past. Unspoken by Reason. What's the score?
Now, this is another fantastic video. Look it up on YouTube.
Right.
This song's meaningful to me because it got me through the lockdowns of 2020 and 2021. It helped me get through the doom and gloom of the world being on hold.
Yep.
And it gave me the reason to get up and keep living and working through the seemingly endless lockdowns.
Yeah,
but check out the video, Never Give Up on Your Dreams.
Sounds good. Con will no doubt see you in there sometime between now and Christmas on the Legal Hour. But thank you for being part of today too.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks.
Seasons of winter, and you'd give anything to feel the sun. Always raging, always climbing, always second guessing the timing. But God has a plan, a purpose in this. You are His child, and don't you forget. He put that hunger in your heart. He put that fire in your soul. Of heaven, we would see His hand on everything, every hour, every minute, every second. He's always been in it. Don't let a shadow of a doubt take hold.
Take hold.
Hold on to what you already know. Even for a minute, what he started in you, yeah, he's gonna finish.
Put that hunger in.